Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we need all your money. I know we say that on a regular basis, but we're serious. We really need all your money. And if there's somebody out there with a stockpile of COVID-19 supplies that has a side business going on, yeah, give us a piece of that. Because I will sell some toilet paper. Somebody got it, I will sell that crap on eBay. Because we need some money going on. You have no idea what we just did to get this show going. And Tommy's slightly frustrated. I know what Tommy frustrated sounds like, and it's vastly entertaining. Tommy sitting over there. What's up, dude?
I just sat through a minute and a half of silence just waiting for your good afternoon because I can't hear production on my end. Yeah. And it's just hilarious just sitting there waiting, just knowing that it's coming. Yeah. I can watch the waveform going, but still just sitting and waiting for it. It was entertaining.
So I've had tech on my side die. You now have tech on your side die. Now we both need new tech in both of the studios,
yep.
Which is not cheap. We're planning for E4. I talked to Duff last night. Duff is pumped for some E4. That's one thing he said while I was talking to him. Was like, you're doing it right? And yep. I'm like, dude, there's a virus. He's like, I don't care.
So we're definitely doing it, but we need a new acronym, right? Like, we got to keep E4. We're not changing E4. We need something new that E4 stands for, because it can't be the Electronic Expo, Entertainment Expo Extravaganza without the Electronic Entertainment Expo part of that. So what are the first three E's now? Like, we need somebody to come up with a good first three E's for our extravaganza so we can keep it as E4.
That's a contest. I love it. I love it. That's a contest. We'll give you something if somebody can come up with words for the first three E's.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
I don't know what we'll give you, but we'll give you something.
We've still got tons of games in the vault. We'll
hand
you a whole bunch of free games. Post something on Facebook. What do those first three E's stand for? We need a good catchy name.
Also, I have not told you this. I know you're watching Facebook, but our boy Sam's been holding out on us. And apparently we have a music/production wizard in the house.
I saw that.
And I'm a little frustrated because we've needed one of those for like 3 years. And then all of a sudden he posts this stuff on Facebook and he has a setup.
Yep.
And so what he doesn't realize is that boy about to go to work. So... yeah, just get ready for that, Sam. We got a whole list of stuff we need you to do.
Yep.
And by the time it's over, you're going to hate us. but that's the way it is. And we do have lots of gaming stuff to talk about. I know you've been dealing with school stuff, and I want to talk about all that. But before we do that, I'm sorry to everybody listening, but I need to have a Jamie and Tommy moment. And I have not seen or heard from him in about 6 weeks. And so I'm going to ask you a question, sir, which I'm almost certain that I know the answer to, but I'm asking anyway. Are you watching The Last Dance?
I have not watched any of it yet.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I told Duff last night. You got to go on ESPN On Demand, and you got to watch that.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to. I've obviously seen it on Twitter and all the stuff around it. It just hasn't fit into the rotation at this point, but I'm pretty pumped about it. I'm excited to get to it.
I got to tell you, I love that guy. I mean, for crying out loud, I stole his name.
Right.
So I love that guy. And the thing that is mind bending to me, I just want y'all to think about this. If you don't know what we're talking about, there is a Chicago Bulls documentary going on every Sunday for about the last 8 Sundays or so. They're talking about the final year of the Chicago Bulls' 6th championship run, and the whole thing centers around Michael Jordan. And the reason the whole thing centers around Michael Jordan, I didn't realize this until the other day, but he owns all that footage.
Yeah.
Like the crew and all of that, that was his idea.
Yep.
And so, like, it's the most amazing thing because there's nothing else on TV. Like, there's no other sports on TV. So for the last 6 weeks, Michael Jordan has been the center of the universe again. And I have to admit to you, I am a 41-year-old man that should really be over this stuff. But I watched this stuff 22 years ago. And now we're going through it again. And I just wanted to mention to all of you, I still want to be like Mike.
That's fair.
That's all I'm saying. I still want to be like Mike. And if you ever wonder why I am the way I am, all you crazy people, watch that. Because I got a lot of what I am from him. And you know more about me than anybody, and there's more of that, of the absurdness, like the "do you know who I am" kind of thing in me than anybody else realizes. So I'm having a good time. I'm having a blast. You really need to watch it because I need to talk to somebody about it.
That's fair. Yeah. Like I said, it's definitely on my short list. I've heard such good things about it. I'm pretty excited.
It's good stuff. It really is. And I really, at this point, he's 56 years old, and I've thought more than once, dude really just needs to come out of retirement and play the last 20 games of the NBA season. People would pay to see that.
They definitely would.
Yes. Yeah. So, all that being said, we do have some huge gaming news. And so, where do you want to start? Because we got gaming news, we got to talk about live stuff. Where do you want to start?
Well, I just mentioned really quickly, kind of live stuff. But just to mention, stuff on the show we're about to talk about. Assassin's Creed, obviously, huge deal. We've got the announcement, finally. Everything that's been rumored for so long is true. We just now know it, so we'll talk about that. We've also got news about The Last of Us 2, which is both exciting and terrible. There's good news and bad news around that. Some next-gen news in there. We'll see how much of it we get to. But we do have some good stuff. I will say it's obviously been a while since we did a show. We were in such good routine there for a while, and then we fell off. Because my world life work has just been nuts for the past couple weeks, wrapping up semester and all that kind of stuff, and which means I've just not hardly played a thing gaming wise. I've played maybe an hour of Final Fantasy, and that maybe a little bit more at the beginning of that gap. In the past couple weeks, it's been next to nothing. I played the other night for 20 minutes or something, and it felt so good.
Guys, I want you to understand, I've seen that 20 minutes. I can't even get dude to return my text at this point. at this point, his text from me looks just like a stream of consciousness because I'm just talking. I see something like, dude, have you seen this? And he doesn't answer. And I'm like, I know he's not dead. It's the end of, it's May. This is what happens in May.
Yeah, that's what all my text conversations look like right now. If it makes you feel any better, probably not. But it's just, just that time of year. And so it's eating me alive. But like I said, it's just about over. I've got a couple more days of heavy grading and then maybe back into some good gaming for a little bit. Have played a bit of Animal Crossing. That's been my, little sanity go-to of just being able to work for on my island for 15 minutes at a time or whatever. That game is a weird, it's Stardew Valley to me, it's a very similar kind of experience for me, of it just being kind of brainless. You're not really accomplishing anything, there's no real, I got really caught up on trying to catch a tarantula, and that was really fun in the game, just stupid stuff like that, but there's no real bigger purpose you're trying to do. It just is a good shut your mind off for a little bit. And so especially right before going to bed, that's been my routine lately, is we'll be sitting on the couch watching some TV and I'll just pull out the Switch for 20 or 30 minutes and catch up on Animal Crossing for the day. And that's been the extent of my gaming for a while, which is a bummer. But hopefully that's going to ramp up.
Can I tell you, those of you that are not playing Animal Crossing, Animal Crossing is a world-changing deal.
It's crazy.
And the reason why I say that is because I just spent 5 minutes talking about this Last Dance thing, and none of you people know what that is. And I understand that, but Animal Crossing is like that in the sense that everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Like Avery called me and she's like, do you have Animal Crossing? Have you played Animal Crossing? I'm playing Animal Crossing. It's awesome. and it's everywhere.
It is. It very, very much is. And it was the perfect game for the moment. It wasn't obviously planned to be the game that releases right at the beginning of a pandemic. But it just ended up being the game that releases at the beginning of a pandemic. And it's a game totally based off of escapism of you just have your own little island and you get to just build your island up and people come live on your island and you get to go visit other people's islands and there's nothing dangerous about it. You don't die in the game. You get stung by a wasp or bit by a tarantula is the biggest thing that happens to you in the game, and all it does is takes you back to your house, which isn't really a punishment. Sometimes it's just convenient. If you're on the other side of the island, just get bit by a tarantula, get you back to your house. That's the only thing you have to worry about. It just fits the moment of the world in this incredible way that is just bizarre. And it's going to make it that's going to be, when we look back at the pandemic of 2020 in gaming, Animal Crossing is going to be the game that is talked about at that time. Final Fantasy VII came out during the same time, right? But it's going to be Animal Crossing that's the game that captured that moment. That's going to be historically it had a purpose at that time. Whereas Final Fantasy VII, great game, isn't the game that had a purpose, isn't the game that transcended gaming barriers. There's tons of people that I've seen online that are playing Animal Crossing that aren't ever going to touch anything like Final Fantasy VII. They're not big gamers. But Animal Crossing doesn't require you to be a big gamer. It's so approachable and it's so immediately understandable. But even for somebody like me, it's still fun and engaging. And so, it's really been remarkable. So kudos to Nintendo. I know it's shocking that Nintendo executed something well, but they executed something well yet again.
And let's be honest, the whole deal with this pandemic thing is that, and we haven't really talked about what's going on because we don't need to. Everybody knows what's going on. But I want to bring up this one thing that's very interesting to me, in that I know your life hasn't changed a lot because you're in a situation with your job where you're the guy that knows everything. And so you're always busy. And the thing for me has been, hey, I'm sitting around. I haven't left the house in like 6 weeks. I had a mustache until a week ago, and I couldn't stand it. Fantastic. Like I couldn't stand the thing. Like I kept tasting my hair, and I'm like, that's it. My point is that I'm in my house and I'm doing my thing, and I wrote a blog post for all the people that have been bored. Like, and the people that say they're bored during this thing drive me insane, because this is why we have hobbies.
Right.
So I wrote this blog post talking about how even during this time period, like, I'm busy all day, every day. I'm doing something, whether it's for the show or one of my other jobs or whatever. Like, there's no such thing as being bored. Like, I'm busy. And the greatest thing about this is that I actually have time to sit down and focus on some video games. And it's been so much fun. And I feel awful that I'm having so much fun, because there's so much awful going on in the world. But I'm having a blast.
Yeah.
And when you're done at the end of the day, at the end of May, you're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to be a gamer right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good hobby to have at this moment in time, for sure. Having something that you can fall back on when everything else is literally shut down. And I still can't imagine, like, you know, we're kind of gradually starting the reopening process, as you mentioned. We'll see how that goes. But can you imagine, like, trying to go to the movies right now? Like, nobody's going to want to go to the movies.
No! And
seating capacity, even if people did want to go to the movies, all the restrictions that are going to be in place, it's going to be a quarter capacity or whatever. You've got four seats on either side of you. You know, like, it just isn't something, like, we're just not going to get back to what we did 3 months ago anytime soon. And so we've just got more gaming time ahead of us, or whatever else it is that you got. Well, if you're listening to this show, I'm assuming that's gaming. Yeah, there's a lot of it to come. Now, if you have a two-year-old, all bets are gone at that point. she eats time. I've said that before, that she's just a time eater, but it's still true. Maybe even more so now, of being stuck in a house with her all day. She just eats time. It's
and
just
that,
where did the day go?
And now it's like, Dad, hey, Dad, Dad, what's up, Dad? Dad, can we hang out, Dad? Yeah.
I'll tell you a little secret right here, just between you and me. My toenails are pink right now. That's where we've arrived, both at her age and the pandemic, as I ended up getting my toenails painted yesterday. So, yeah, things are going great over here.
So, okay, I just gotta say that. We were talking about E3 before we fired up the show, because we don't know what we're doing. But we're going to do something.
We're going to do something.
And if it's the last thing we do, we're going to try and make it in the same room. Forget social distancing. We don't care if we kill each other. And that's okay. It's all right. So we're going to do something. But one thing that I think will be beneficial to you is that we're getting to the age where I can be crazy Uncle Jay and be like, okay, you want to pierce my ears? Cool, I'll do that.
Right.
You want to paint my toenails? Cool, let's do that. I'm all in for all that, so I'm hoping to take a little pressure off you at
there
some
you
point
go.
Here.
That'll be nice. Yeah.
I
will appreciate that. So, really quick, got to mention Patreon guys before we jump into anything else. Just don't want to forget them, because we do appreciate you guys a ton. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. Thank you guys for your support. going to get back into some gaming. We got to play Final Fantasy again.
Yes.
Last. If you haven't gone by the Patreon and watched the Final Fantasy video of us playing Final Fantasy together, it may be terrible for y'all. I don't know. Y'all may hate it, but that's fine because we enjoyed it. We had a blast doing it, so we're definitely going to do that again.
I know we're kind of limited on the production side of things, but I've decided that we need to go like three steps farther with this Saved by the Bell thing. I think we need to get the music because I thought this out after we did that. Okay. Uh-huh. Just stay with me for a second. Okay. Quiet as Zach, right?
Quiet as Zach. Kind of punk, douchey. But,
yeah.
Not quite as popular. Yep. Yeah, got it.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And Barrett Slater. Obviously. Right. Right. And Wedge Screech, right?
I like it. And
Jesse is actually Jesse from Saved by the Bell. So that fits because she's a little weird and she's a little sketchy.
And then
you got Tifa who is Lisa. So we could do this whole Saved by the Bell thing like that.
You think Tifa is Lisa and not Kelly?
Well, okay, so Tifa is Kelly.
That would be my.
So who's Lisa?
Aerith is the only one we've got left. And we haven't really got her into the whole flow of things yet. She's not really, she's kind of Lisa, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, she is kind of dramatic. I mean, she gets stabbed right in the middle of things. So
it's fair.
I really think we need to put together a Saved by the Bell short with Final Fantasy characters. I really do. I think it's great.
I like it.
Like, we can get the music off the internet and everything. Cabbage! That's a segment! That's a segment! That's awesome!
Oh, goodness.
And we're probably the only two guys on the planet that still love Saved by the Bell. Like, I'm 41 years old. I love that show.
It's so terribly great. You know, like, it's so bad, it's so good kind of thing.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's talk about games.
Before we jump into the news, anything else you want to hit on?
You have to play Half-Life Alyx. Like,
yes.
My mind is totally blown, and I don't want to talk about it because you haven't seen it. Yeah, you have to play it, and kudos Valve for being Valve. For those of you that haven't gone through it, maybe you picked it up and started playing it. And you're like, yeah, this is cool. Yeah, Valve did it again, and I just wish more people could play it because you get to the end of it, and at the end of every Half-Life game, there's a holy crap moment. Yeah, there was a holy crap moment here.
Nice.
So I will reiterate to what I said to Scarfinger or whoever it was that I said that to. Half-Life 3 is coming, folks. It's coming. And I know people have said that for 8 zillion years at this point.
Generations at this point.
But get to the end of Alyx, and I think you'll be with me that Half-Life 3 is coming. Because they basically wrapped up Half-Life 2 with the episodes and all of that with the way they did the end. And they left you looking at it going, holy crap. So, nice. Yeah, you got to play that. And I don't know, did you get the voicemail I left you? Because
yes.
I left you a voicemail late at night raving like an idiot because I saw the end of Alyx. I've watched through the entire game on YouTube and I feel awful, but I did. And it's fantastic.
Nice.
And if you have a VR rig, you have to play it.
I saw something like a million new VR users on Steam popped up because of Alyx. So that's,
yeah.
Everything you can say about it more. So All that being said, we'll jump into the show notes, get through a couple big things that have happened in the past week or so. With the first one really being Assassin's Creed, just because it's been percolating for so long, and we've heard the rumors about it being a Viking-themed game. That is now officially confirmed. We have Assassin's Creed Valhalla that is coming this holiday season on next gen, so confirmed for PS5 and Xbox Series X. If it is on the level of Origins and Odyssey, which I don't see any reason at this point to think it won't be, that's a heck of a title to have on a new console. So that makes me very happy. I think that part of it's super cool. Go by the show notes, gamingonsensor.com. If you haven't seen the trailer at this point, it's there. There's supposed to be gameplay coming out tomorrow, maybe, or the next day. So you'll be seeing more of it very shortly. The 4-minute kind of trailer is not gameplay, it's just all cinematic stuff, but it's
and that's one thing that I think the people that like Viking stuff will really like, is because Vikings were super bloody.
Yeah.
they just weren't, like, they had this thing, and for the life of me I can't remember what the thing was called, but they had the thing that if they really want to torture somebody, they take their ribs and they make their ribs where they're like outside their skin, and there's a really cool name for it.
Fantastic.
It's really, really painful, and I can't think of the name for it at this point. But that's kind of the Viking thing. Like, we're gonna mess you up. I think it's gonna be good.
Blood Eagle?
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. Thank
that's
you, Google.
It
directly from Wikipedia. The Blood Eagle is a ritual method of execution detailed in late Skaldic poetry. According to the two instances mentioned, the victims were placed in a prone position, their ribs severed from the spine with a sharp tool, and their lungs pulled through the openings to create a pair of wings.
Cool. Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah.
So there's some random Jamie Jordan knowledge for you.
Jamie Jordan. That's fantastic. I like that.
I just pulled some stuff out. But here's the problem that they have getting back to the game. Okay? Assassin's Creed had a few years there where it wasn't really good.
Yeah.
Right? And then now they've had two pretty really good games. Like, they've really good games.
Yep.
That they can't go back to sucking again.
Yeah. That's always my worry with Assassin's Creed, obviously, because they already have that history of getting a little bit too eager just to put games out. The encouraging things here, I think the Viking world is exciting, right? Like, that's a fun world. And honestly, like, Odyssey didn't really capture my interest all that much because, like, Greek world just didn't seem that interesting to me. I know a lot of people disagreed, and when we saw the debut of it, it was beautiful and everything else, but just that world wasn't immediately interesting. And then I played Odyssey, and I was like, this game is fantastic. It's just such a good game, and the world is so great, and they executed well. This is kind of the opposite thing, where I'm already like, this world is ripe for Assassin's Creed. Like, this feels like the world that Assassin's Creed needs to be in. And so then there's the potential to get into it and go, they didn't quite execute it exactly how I wanted to. So that aside, if they follow the formula of what they've done, again, with Odyssey and Origins, with the kind of bigger open world thing, with the exploration side of it, with the heavy RPG elements that they've put back in, a lot of the leveling stuff and weapons and customization, that kind of stuff, that's really, really fun and yet still approachable in Assassin's Creed world. If they can keep all that, which the details sound like that's obviously a direction they're going, I think it'll be cool. Some of the other details that have come out at this point about what to expect gameplay-wise and the world and all that kind of stuff. First, it's been confirmed that you'll be able to do the same thing in this that you did in Odyssey, where you can pick either a male or a female player character. And so same kind of idea that you're going to do the same basic story, but you can see it from two different perspectives, which is cool. Difference here being is it feels like, at least just in this first kind of cinematic thing that they released, whereas Odyssey really felt like it was a game built to be a female player character, and most people chose to be the female player character. This one, at least to me so far, feels like it's built to be a male player character. And when you think Vikings, you know, like you just think big beards and that kind of thing. And so it's going to feel a little bit more weighted toward being a male player character, but we'll see.
They rape and pillage and whatnot. I mean, that would just be weird.
It would be weird. So playing Odyssey as a female character made a lot of sense to me. I don't know that I'm going to be able to do that with Valhalla. I think I'm going to have to be a male character. I want a beard. It's a freaking Viking. I need a beard.
I was going to say, I do not want to see a female with a beard. Thank you.
And if I'm playing a Viking, I have to have a beard. So, yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer there. It looks like they're going to retool combat a little bit to make it a little bit more, the way I read it, this is me kind of reading into, not necessarily confirmed, but making it a little bit more like kind of modern games, modern action-adventure games that have a lot of melee combat. Something like God of War, what they did with the combat there, that makes the encounters, the fights, a little bit more tactical. I would guess a lot of parry that's always been part of Assassin's Creed anyway. But the way that they explain it is putting an emphasis on making every hit feel impactful. And that feels like a very accurate way to describe a lot of recent games, even something like the new Star Wars game, that the combat has gone to this, like, not just button mashing hack and slash combat, but more tactical, intentional, you know, button mashing. It's still got that button mashing thing, but a little bit more intentional with the way you button mash. And so that would be cool, even though at the end of the day, like, the fun of a Assassin's Creed combat is sneaking and killing people from stealth and that kind of thing. And so if they do away with that in a heavy way, that would suck. There's no indication yet at this point. But that seems to me the more important part of an Assassin's Creed game, of being like an assassin, of being stealthy and sneaky and trying to eliminate people without them seeing you.
I really don't see Vikings being stealthy, so...
I know, it's a little bit of a weird thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I have to tell you a story. I told you that I talked to Duff last night, and this show is going in weird places. I talked to Duff last night, and we're talking about various things. He had people at his house. And one guy that looked like what's-his-face from Aquaman, like he's a dead ringer for Aquaman.
Jason Momoa?
Yeah.
Right? He's from Hawaii, so right? I mean...
Yeah, like he's this guy that's at Duff's house, a dead ringer. They sent me a picture. Like, I'm laying in bed on my watch, and they're sending me pictures. And so, like, turns out that Aquaman is sitting there, and he's got this really hot English girlfriend, and she says something, and of course she's got the accent, and she's really hot. And Duff says, if you want her, you have to take on the superhero. And I'm looking at him going, dude, we're talking about Aquaman. At least it's the lamest superhero ever made. Tell her she can do better. But out of this discussion, back to gaming, Duff says to me, because you always come up when we talk, Duff says to me, I really think that for this pandemic period, Tommy needs to work on his Kratos look. Like, yeah. I Duff says, I think Tommy could be an awesome real life Kratos. And I want to see that. So that's your request from Duff. We need to get your Kratos working.
Fair enough. I like it. Of any video game character I could, like, kind of cosplay, that's about as close as it gets. Because I've got the beard. I've like, the Kratos beard is pretty solid. Outside of that, I'm a long ways away. But the Kratos beard is pretty solid. Get some big red tattoos, shave my head, buff up a billion times. I could pull it off.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it could be great. So or now I've got a chance to be a Viking. So maybe it works out that way, too.
Yeah.
We'll see. A couple of things, couple other things on the game. There's still going to be the kind of ship stuff, which has become also pretty standard, especially in Odyssey. It was a huge part of Odyssey. Being Viking themed, of course, there's going to be Viking ships and that kind of thing. There's going to be fortresses. There's going to be big, like, epic land battles again, like there was in Odyssey. And so taking a lot of those same things, placing in a different time period. Again, this is going to be Viking world. It's 9th century England. You are kind of battling the English, and so the game settings are actually Norway and England. You're going to get to go to London in the game, apparently, which is super cool. The 9th century London sounds really fun. That's a cool location for Assassin's Creed. Again, lots of RPG elements apparently still in there. A lot more details on show notes, gamingancestry.com, if you want to read through them. That said, I hope, again, we have this history with Assassin's Creed, with the first game being so ambitious and interesting, even if it was flawed, which it was, and then the second Assassin's Creed being great, just a fantastic game, and then kind of a steady decline of Assassin's Creed after that, of it just saturating the market, with the reboot of Origins, Odyssey taking it to a whole new level. Question is, does this keep in that direction? Does it keep going up that slope, or does it come back down? I hope just the hype around the whole Viking thing, which I think people are really in love with, I really hope it carries it through to a really, really fun, solid game.
I hope you're right, because I know you love these games. I when I saw it, I was like, I'm probably the one guy that was like, oh, crap.
I think you are.
Because if you can screw something up, it would be Vikings.
Yeah.
Like... There's got to be, if you're going to do that, you have to be very specific about it, because it's Vikings and we all have certain things we want to see. And so that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, that's fair. It is a world that you could screw up. But that again, they just did so good with Odyssey. I know I go back to that all the time, but it's just worth mentioning over and over. If Odyssey had come out in just about any other year, it would have been the game of the year. It's just so ridiculously good. So we can hope. Speaking of potential games of the year, good segue there, right? The Last of Us Part II, we have some new details, specifically a new release date. We talked about how the release date got scrapped and then it was just on indefinite hold for a while. The release date's back and it's not that far away. It's just a little over a month. It's June 19th is the official release date for The Last of Us Part II. And a little bit of breaking news as of like 2 hours ago before we started the show. I saw Neil Druckmann posted that the game's officially gone gold at this point. So it's done. It's ready. The Last of Us Part II is going to be here soon, which is the good news. That's the exciting news about The Last of Us. The really bummer news is that there was a big hack and somebody, and they've identified who they think this is, was able to get into Naughty Dog's servers, apparently, and got a lot of the kind of assets from The Last of Us 2, including some of the cinematics, a lot of details about the story and the gameplay, and released it all online. And so if you weren't careful in your Reddit habits, especially, I heard Reddit was just a cesspool of this for a while, you might well have come across pretty massive Last of Us 2 spoilers, where people were just posting this stuff online, which is a bummer for a studio like Naughty Dog that's been working on this game for you know, 5 or 6 years, really, at this point, to have a couple of months before it's released, somebody put out on the internet, you know, all the juicy tidbits of the narrative, of the story, all the things that people have been, you know, we went a year and a half of, is Joel dead or not? You know, like, all those things, and just to have somebody just put it out there before your game ever even hits the market is a bummer. You know, like, it just there's no other way around it. It's shocking how rarely this happens in popular culture, video games or movies, that somebody spoils some big thing, you know, before it's out there. And even after it's out there, it's really crazy how easy it is to, for the most part, get by with not seeing spoilers. So to have something like this happen just sucks. Just really sucks.
I haven't seen anything, because I you and I use the internet a lot, but the funny thing about being an old guy is I don't live on the internet, I've realized. I realize there are people that live on the internet. I am not one of those people. the internet is still a tool. So unless I go looking for it, I'm probably not going to see it.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Likewise, to all that, I am an old guy too, and don't live on the internet in that way either. And once I saw that this was out there, I was obviously very cautious about trying to make sure I didn't run into anything. Because if there's anything that I want from The Last of Us 2, it's to be enveloped and surprised by that game going through it. I want as few details as possible going into it. Like, I know enough already. I don't need to know anything else about the story, about the narrative, about anything about this game. Like, I just want to experience it. And again, the news of the leak and the news of the release, they came out within hours of each other. And I don't know if the news of the leak prodded them to go ahead and put the release date out there to kind of cover up. That seems wise, and it also seems like it would have been hard to execute as much stuff as they put out around it. But either way, I think it did a good job. And I think at the end of the day, I really hope that like this game just sells gangbusters, and like just like the whole like story of this leak thing goes away. Like, nobody's not going to play this game now because this leak happened. I'm pretty convinced of it. So that's good news.
Here's the thing, and I've talked to you about this because we haven't had time. Like, I haven't talked to you in 6 weeks, and we basically just came here and turned on the mics, and off we went. But I think that E4 this year, whatever that comes to stand for, there's a contest out there. We need words for the three E's, because we don't have the Electronics Entertainment Expo anymore, so somebody's got to adjust our acronym and fix that. But I think the game series for that period of time, wherever we are, if you're here or I'm there or wherever we are, needs to be The Last of Us. And what I suggest, assuming there's not a lot of news and a lot of crap we got to deal with, what I suggest is going on a bender and trying to get through the first game and then starting the second game and getting as far as we can.
Yeah.
And that being the focus.
Yeah.
Because
it seems like a no-brainer at this point.
I have not seen the original game at all.
Yeah.
And like, I know the big stuff. I know it's emotional, and I know all of that, but I think for that time period, whatever we end up doing, that needs to be the game.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. The timing of that is super fortuitous for when we need to do something gaming-wise. Now we've got this huge game that's going to be out at that time. So
Yeah,
absolutely. You'll be seeing a lot of The Last of Us from us soon. That's a weird thing to say. Anyway, moving on to next-gen news. The news is that we'll get news soon, just really quickly, for Xbox. We will see some Xbox Series X gameplay starting this Thursday. So just a few days from now, Xbox is doing an Inside Xbox where they're going to show off some Series X gameplay, which is super exciting because obviously we want to see that content. I'm dying to know what next party is, or next generation is going to look like, feel like. Phil Spencer, I want to get your thoughts on this tweet. On the kind of getting excited about seeing what the next gen is. This is what Phil Spencer said to somebody on Twitter, which is the world we live in. That news is Phil Spencer replying to somebody on Twitter. But somebody asked him about, what technologies are allowing this big advance for the Series X. We've heard about ray tracing, blah, blah, blah. So he replied and said, ray tracing on console will be great. I'm very focused on the work we are doing around dynamic latency input. In my view, the feel of games, and this is the part, this upcoming generation will change as dramatically as any since 2D to 3D, given the CPU upgrades, DLI, memory bandwidth, and solid-state drives. The most dramatic change since 2D to 3D in gaming.
Well, crap. You know what that means? they're going all HoloLens on this thing. That's exactly what they're doing. We're about to have some mixed reality going on. And like, they've been holding on to that thing for years.
Yeah.
And they're like, now we got a shot. And and I have to admit, if I'm right about this, that's a freaking brilliant idea on their end there.
Yeah. There's no evidence for that. Nothing to say. It just, to me, it's so obviously going from 2D to 3D was a pretty massive change in the world of gaming. I don't feel anything at this point of where, if anything, this generation seems like the least significant generation change of my lifetime, right? Of our
right.
Of gaming history, because gaming history is basically our lifetimes. Like I'm excited about the Series X. I'm excited about the PlayStation 5 because I'm excited about next gen and updates and that kind of stuff. But everything we talk about with it feels like it's an incremental update. Like, okay, it's going to be prettier. Okay, we're going to have solid-state drives. Like, I deal with solid-state drives all the time. You know, like my laptop, my PC, all solid-state drives. Like, the console is the one thing that doesn't have a solid-state drive at this point. So it almost feels like it's a lagging issue at that point with the solid-state drive. And yet, what we keep hearing about it is that this is revolutionary. This is going to change everything.
So...
And I just need to see it. I need to see how this changes everything, because right now it doesn't feel that significant. And if Phil Spector is saying that this is the biggest change, Spencer, sorry, is saying that this is the biggest change since 2D to 3D, I need to see that. I need to see how it's that change.
Can we be honest about Phil for a second? Phil is essentially me with some authority. Like, Phil just kind of says some stuff. Like,
yes.
Like I've decided with all the Last Dance stuff going on, I've decided that basically all I am and all I have been for the last 14 years is a white, less successful version of Charles Barkley. that's who I am, and that's kind of where Phil Spencer is. Like, he just kind of says stuff because he's the hype man.
Yep.
And that's his job. And I love our Facebook page because you got Sam. And you got Chad that's like, I haven't turned on my PlayStation 4 in 18 years. We got those guys that totally buy into it and believe that Microsoft is it. And to be totally honest with you, I hope this next generation, they do kind of take control and give me something that I have to see, because I love the snarky remark that you gave Chad, which is, holy crap, it's a compelling reason to buy an Xbox. like that was, because that's how we feel. That's how we felt since the 360.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is coming from Phil, like, he's the hype man. That's his job. I don't, despite what I just said, I don't believe a word the guy says ever.
This fair. That's 100% fair. It makes me giddy to think that there's something to that, you know?
I hope there is.
I don't believe in any way it's going to be as significant of a change as, you know, well, obviously not as 2D to 3D, because you're going to be able to play the same games on either platform. Didn't exist between, you know, 2D to 3D world, whatever. But that, like, just think of the change between the Xbox and the Xbox 360, right?
That, like, was huge.
That was huge. It just felt like a massive world difference. The change between the Xbox 360 to the Xbox One or the PlayStation 3 to the PlayStation 4 felt significant, but not anything like that. Right, to me. And this one is already feeling less than even that one was. And maybe that's just because we're getting older and more jaded as we go along. But I want to be blown away by these consoles. Like, I really want to go, oh my God, I can't live without either one of these. And right now, it's hard to convince me that I need either one of them at the end of the year. Generally, we say, okay, we got to have one. Which one is the one we got to have? Right now, I'm not convinced we need either one. Until you show me Valhalla running on PlayStation 5 versus PlayStation 4 and show me how much more beautiful
You know what we need before the end of the year? I'll tell you what we need before the end of the year. we need a 2080 or a ray tracing card because we playing Cyberpunk.
That's right.
That's what we need. Like, I would like to go spend $3,000 on a rig before the end of the year. I'm not going to do that, but I need somebody to at least send me a 2080 because I'm playing Cyberpunk. Despite what, I love Phil, I love Reggie, I love everybody that does this stuff. The next big thing in gaming is Cyberpunk.
Sure.
Period. It's not close. And yesterday, because we were supposed to do this show yesterday, and then it didn't happen, and so I had to find something to do. I found this random dude on YouTube. I have no idea who he is. That apparently has a whole lot of time on his hands and cobbled together every ounce of information about Cyberpunk that he could find. Like, he cobbled together interviews, it was like 45 minutes and explaining this is why I think that Cyberpunk's going to be this or that or whatever. And it was a compelling YouTube video. And by the end of it, I said to myself, which is something that I haven't said, by the end of it, I said, okay, by September, I have to have a ray tracing card, and I've got to have $60 in my wallet, because I'm buying that day one.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I mean, Cyberpunk is the thing that moves the needle right now. I love these guys. But that's all there is for me right now.
Can I be real honest with you, though, to connect those two things together? If Microsoft puts together an Xbox Series X, like, special edition that's like the Xbox One Cyberpunk special edition unit that they're going to have, I think I would buy that.
Yeah,
I would go out and pick that up and that would get me, because I think that thing looks so freaking cool. Like,
yeah.
Again, that's the compelling reason for me to have an Xbox One right now, is that Cyberpunk thing just looks great.
I agree, but are they going to have the ray tracing and whatnot implemented by September? I don't know.
Well, they're obviously not, because the console's not going to be here by September. That's a weird thing with Cyberpunk, right, is that it's launching just before the next gen does. Now,
right.
They've already confirmed on Xbox, at least. You would think the same is true. I don't know if I've seen this confirmed for PlayStation, but they've already confirmed that if you buy it on Xbox One, you're going to get it on Series X when Series X comes out. So that's great. Hopefully they'll do the same thing with PlayStation. Well,
The reason I'm so excited is I didn't connect until I watched this video yesterday that Cyberpunk is basically Deus Ex on steroids. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's Deus Ex on steroids. And you know how I've been playing that series for years, and I've been talking to you about how good it is. It's so good that it's slowly moving up to one of my favorite franchises of all time. Like, I'm trying to figure out where I can put it on a list, because the more of it I play, and I'm playing DLC right now, it's almost flawless.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so excited about Cyberpunk, because it's doing what Deus Ex does, but it's doing it times 10, and it's doing it so much larger, and it's doing, like, It's like running around in Blade Runner.
Yes.
Like, so if you have all the Deus Ex stuff, which it does, thanks to dude on video, and you have the whole Blade Runner thing, like, you got me. Like, yeah. I love The Witcher. Witcher's great, but Cyberpunk's gonna get 180, 200 hours of my time, and I'm not going to play anything else till it's over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's completely fair. Really quick, I'll throw this in here since we're talking cyberpunk. We do have a bit of cyberpunk news. It's received its first couple of ratings, which no surprise here. It's an adult title. Be prepared for that. But maybe significantly, this actually kind of surprised me a bit. It won't be censored for Australia. We've talked about in the past how Australia has kind of the harsher standards than a lot of other countries as far as their rating systems and what they allow to be released and not. This seems like a game that was ripe to have to go back and get chopped up a little bit to make the Australian rating boards happy. It's going to receive an R18 rating, which is obviously an adult rating, but apparently gets to be released as is in Australia, which is great. That's really good news. I love the fact that it's not going to be edited down for Australian audiences.
You know what I think it is? You know what I think it is?
Huh.
It's the environment.
Maybe so.
It's not because Night City is very, it doesn't represent any environment in this world other than maybe Tokyo currently.
Sure.
I kind of wonder if that has something to do, because it's totally fictional. And there's no way that you can take it as anything other than that.
Yeah.
So
maybe so. Just interesting tidbits here. The Witcher 3 was released in Australia without significant changes. But the Witcher 2 wasn't. The Witcher 2 had to be censored in order to get released in Australia. So CD Projekt Red has obviously dealt with this with their games in the past. I'm trying to think of a game that I've played that has more nudity in it than The Witcher, and I can't tell you one. Until we play Cyberpunk, I imagine Cyberpunk will probably give it a run for its money at a minimum. I've already seen enough gameplay to know that there's going to be plenty in there. Not to mention, like, people with implants, like, jutting out of their arms and stabbing people through the face and all the gore. And then on top of that, like, all drug use, and apparently suicide's a big topic in the game, and like, just, it's going to be a heavy title. Like, just like, right, prepare yourselves now. It is an adult game.
Yeah, like, you're gonna have to lock yourself in a room because little girl ain't getting a taste of that.
Yeah, nowhere near that thing for sure. So
I feel like, And it's awful, because you're right, we got new consoles coming out, but the fact that Cyberpunk comes out first, that's what's moving the needle right now for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think it's really kind of putting a damper on the new console stuff.
We'll see. The coronavirus has obviously just upended any expectations for anything ever in the world at this point. So to try to predict anything right now is a pointless exercise. I think the hype around the new consoles will grow, obviously. Not having E3, which is generally the place where the kind of hype starts in a year when these consoles come out, say, in the holiday season, that's going to, I don't know if it's going to significantly dampen the hype. It's just going to change it. It's going to move it, obviously. We'll see what Xbox does this week. The fact that Microsoft has something going on in a few days is exciting. We'll see what that is. Again, going back, I mentioned Sony also has rumored is to have plans for early July to do a similar reveal, gameplay, all that kind of stuff. Early June. And so what would typically be right around kind of E3 time. So I think in the next month to 2 months, we'll probably see a lot more of that hype start coming up. We'll start hearing kind of non-gaming-centric world people talking about these new consoles. Maybe. If we don't, I think that says a lot. I think it's a little too early right now to say that it says a lot. But in a couple of months, if we're still not hearing a ton about these new consoles, I think that would be more significant. But again, who knows? Because the world makes absolutely no sense at this point. It just, the whole thing's been turned upside down.
No, it doesn't. And the crazy thing is, it's going to be the way it is for a while.
Yeah.
It's going to be the way it is for a while. No concerts until 2021. Oh, well, I saw the most brilliant thing the other day on Facebook. Somebody in the UK has decided that they wanted to have a concert. And so they had people, like, pull up in their cars. So, like, the old Mile High Stadium or whatever that's all grass, they just opened it and had people pull in. And like, I would have never thought of that, but that's a cool way to do a concert.
Yeah. Man, you got to do what you got to do at this point.
Yeah.
Get creative. One last thing I'll mention here, and we'll do releases and wrap up. Final Fantasy VII Remake is here in full swing, except remember, this is just the first one of more. How many more? We've got a little bit of a hint at maybe three.
We knew that. Four discs, baby.
That's what I'm saying. If you did four parts, that would make a lot of sense. But they're not confirming that. They're saying there's this thing floating around, and that's just something floating around. But they did say, the director said officially they hope to get the next part out as soon as possible, and that it's well on its way in development. And so we'll see. If we see the end of the Final Fantasy VII Remake saga in the next 10 years, I'll be impressed.
If we see the next section of it before 2021, I'll be impressed.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely not going to see the next section of it before 2021. I think if we see the next section of it in 2021, that would be pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to happen in a hurry at all. All that being said, we haven't said this. Holy crap, it's great.
Man, it's so good. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
All our jokes and all that crap aside, it's really good. And it may be just for us because we're geeks and materia and changing out gear. Like, I'm watching you play on YouTube and I'm thinking, how many people are watching this? And they just get bored out of their skulls from the amount of changing and adjusting and stuff that is being done. But that's what the game was.
Yep.
And is.
Oh,
and it's fantastic.
It's so good. Yeah. I'm really satisfied with that game. Of a game that I was so hyped about and so worried about kind of at the same time. I think they did a really good job with it, so I'm excited to talk about it more once we get some more hours into it soon.
And we're just getting started too. Like,
yeah, we've got a long way to go with that thing, which is exciting. Really quick, big releases, not a ton, except for new Streets of Rage. Streets of Rage 4 is out on PS4 and Xbox and PC, and Switch. It's everywhere. And getting decent reviews. Solid low to mid 80s on Metacritic. So, new Streets of Rage.
you know, I love me some Streets of Rage, and I'll be firing that up and playing as Axel.
Absolutely.
I am all about Streets of Rage from back in the day. Did you play that, or was that just
Oh,
me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Streets of Rage was great.
So, great stuff.
Otherwise, we're kind of in a little bit of a lull in game releases until next month, June. We get a big one, and then obviously I skipped over this. Just in the news of The Last of Us being pushed to June, Ghost of Tsushima has been pushed back to July. But still, that's coming too, and I imagine we'll be seeing more of that in the near future. So. The summer's going to have some good games, I hope. And then September, we get Cyberpunk. Should be a good year for games, right? Between Half-Life Alyx, Final Fantasy VII Remake, The Last of Us Part II, and Cyberpunk, that's a good year in games.
How do we pick a game of the year?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
I don't know. We're going to have to play them because they're all going to be fantastic. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. And Duff continues to swear that sooner rather than later, this is what you and I are going to do for a living. So I'm holding him to that. because we're going to need the time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of great stuff out there. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm playing games. I'm trying to get through stuff. As soon as I finish Mankind Divided, I am on to The Walking Dead, the final season. And then I picked up Life is Strange Part 2 over the weekend, which may be still on sale. Did you pick that up, sir?
No, actually, I picked that up a long time ago.
Okay, because I got it for $15. I've been waiting on it to go down. So.
Yeah, I remember so, when I grabbed it. I've played about half of the first episode. I think that's one I need to pick back up. Man, you just keep making me think of games.
Yeah, see? See, we need this time. We got stuff to play. We need all the time we can get. So,
absolutely,
lots of good stuff to play, and we're this is what we want to do. We hope you guys are enjoying it. If you want to know where to find us, we've got a Facebook page, Gaming Uncensored Facebook page. Lots of great guys over there, Sam and Logan and various other people are over there always talking. There's always something on the Facebook page. We got Twitter. That's always vastly entertaining because Tommy on Twitter is totally amazing. And I've decided, just totally off the cuff, that I suck at Twitter because everybody that I know of says, hey, if you want to get in touch with somebody, you just hit them up on Twitter. And I don't know if I told you this, but I tweeted at Mike Wilmon, our buddy Mike Wilmon from PTI, because I wrote a thing which I would like to send to him. And I asked him, I'm like, yo, you got a public email address? And no reply whatsoever. So apparently I don't have the Twitter magic because everybody else I know is like, yeah, you want to get in touch with somebody, just tweet them. Yeah. Apparently Twitter knows that I'm old and don't really know how to do that. So, so there's that. The Twitter's there. It's entertaining. We've got the Patreon page. There's actual content up there, 2 hours worth of content up there. It's great stuff. I went back and watched the video. Vastly entertaining, which is very self-indulgent of me to say because we made that.
But still.
But it is. It's really good. So definitely go by the Patreon page and get involved over there because there will be content. That much I can guarantee. Especially around this time of year, we go crazy. There will be more content over there. We have the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And, of course, we do, in fact, occasionally play segments on this show.
We do.
We haven't in a while, but we'll get back to that eventually. So definitely, if you want to call us, leave us a voicemail, feel free to do that. It will cut you off after 3 minutes. It is not because we hate you, but if you're not ready to be cut off, call it back and we will stitch it together. You can go on for 20 minutes for all we care. We'll stitch it together. We love segments on this show and we would love for you to be involved. And, of course, the email is gaminguncensored@gmail.com if you need to get in touch with us. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.